beautiful group of people. Happy, healthy, beautiful. We're in Vermont. That air is so nice and clean. I'm breathing so much of that air. Thank you. That's so great. That is so great. It is true. I got here. I said, I just want to breathe that air. I went outside. There's like 20,000 people. We can't get them in. So you are very, very lucky tonight, I hope, right? You're going to be very happy. They have a crowd that stretched. It must be 15 blocks. I've never seen anything like it. But we do have big crowds everywhere. People want to see our country great again. They want to see a lot of positive things happen. And that's going to happen. We're going to make it something really special. We're going to make it really special. We've been taking a lot of hits. We don't have victories anymore. You understand it. We don't. When was the last time? I mean, you look at what's going on all over the world right now, whether it's the Middle East, whatever. By the way, do you have people's seats? You have seats? You don't. You're standing. I think they got rid of the seats. They got rid of seats. They took some seats out so we could get more people. Yeah, go down. Sit down. Sit down. Be comfortable. Thank you, man. Be comfortable. Be comfortable. Great people up here. It's amazing, right? No, it's amazing. But, so, you know, I announced I was going to run. I couldn't stand watching it anymore. We used to have victories. We don't have victories. We're going to have so many victories that you're going to be bored of winning. You're going to get so tired of it. You're going to get so tired of it. So I always like to start, only if it's good news, but we've had good news since June 16th. You know, I announced on June 16th. And a lot of the pundits, you know, these are very dishonest people, many of them. I mean, some of these guys are just brutal and terrible. Oh, look at all the people up there, too. Wow. What a nice group. But they all said, oh, he's never going to run. He's just doing this for fun. He's not going to do it. He's done it before. I almost ran 4 years ago. I wish I did it. I really wish. Because that was an election that could have been won. It should have been won. But, hey, so we delay it. Maybe this is better, okay? Who knows? We've gone deeper into the abyss, that I can tell you. But I think, you know, I'm very happy because in Vermont, okay, you know what these are? I love ratings. I get so, these other candidates, why do you always talk about ratings? Because I'm number one. If I were number two, it's true. If we're number two, we don't talk about the ratings, right? We don't talk about the ratings. But in Vermont, I'm number one by a lot, 32%, beating everybody. Very important. Very important. NBC did a big poll, 35% by far number one, killing everybody. I won't even say, should I say who's number two or not even bother? They're so far. They say no. I mean, they're so far behind. I hope it doesn't matter. Today, Reuters, listen to this one, 43%, 43. And you ever notice at the beginning, I'd come out, I started, you know, we start with nothing. Jeb Bush was actually leading, and then we found out he had no energy, and he went down the tubes. No, we need energy. Folks, we need energy. We need energy. You know, you had Jeb Bush, you had Rand Paul. He's, like, gone. In fact, he won't make the stage. He said, if I don't make the main stage, I think he's quitting or something if he doesn't make the main stage. So it looks like he's not going to make the main stage. So I guess that means, I'll tell you what, Kentucky's a great state. I can't imagine somebody's not going to challenge him after the horrible job he's done with this, right? If I were in Kentucky, I would challenge him. I would run in a primary, and you would win. But that's his problem. That's not my problem. We probably won't see him too much longer. But we've had a total now of 17. We started off with 17. One by one by one, they disappear. And everybody so far that's disappeared has taken on Trump. And you remember Governor Perry? He was brutal. Gone, right? Lindsey Graham, gone. Go ahead, Governor Walker, nice guy. Gone. These were all guys. You know, I feel guilty. Actually, I feel guilty. And plenty of others. How about Pataki? He had zero. Pataki, he had zero, 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 zero. I said, at what point, you know, when do you leave when you have all zeros, right? They actually had him down once with a zero and the arrow to the left, which meant less than nothing. And I said, I think it's a typo. How do you have less than nothing? So we've lost a lot of very fine people, really fine people. Pretty fine people. And it's been an experience because, you know, when I first came out, I was watching the pundits say, this is the finest field of talent the Republicans have put on since World War II. They said World War II. And I said, wow. Charles Krauthammer said, it's the finest group of talent they've had in decades. And I said, man, that's bad. I'm running against all this talent. And then I said, after like a couple of months, I said, rerun that. I want to see. Does he really mean that? But because we're going to do things that nobody else can do, folks. We're going to fix this country. We're going to make it so great. We're going to do things that nobody else can do. And by the way, I have to say, you know, these are Republicans, and some of them I really like, and some of them I really respect. You don't respect everybody. You can't resume. We are going to build a wall. Don't worry about it. And, hey, wait a minute. And who's going to pay for the wall?
Mexico!
Who's going to pay for the wall?
Mexico!
Who's going to pay for the wall?
Mexico!
I've never done that before. That's actually cute. I've never done that before. That's very funny. I've never done it before. That was pretty cool. We're going to have to use that. And I'll always be thinking of Vermont when I've used it. I'll tell you. Who's not going to pay for the wall? Vermont. Right. So it was interesting because when we said we're going to come up here, a lot of people said, why? And most of the guys are not coming up, you know. They're afraid to come up here because it has a tendency to be a little bit liberal, pretty rough, okay? No. And if you look at the candidates, they're not coming here. I think I'm like the only one. I'm the only one. And I said, no, I think. And all over the networks tonight, you know what? All over the networks, all over the place. This turned out to be different. I thought it would be a nice, soft evening. We'll have 500, 600 people. We'll sit around a little fireside. We'll talk. We'll have some fun. And then I hear CNN all day long. This line is massive. This line. And they have it, you know, the line is so. So it turned out to be good. But I'm here for a different reason. I'm here because you people are great. And everybody said it. And I have a friend who's in my campaign who's very much attuned to Vermont, loves Vermont. He said, you got to do it. I said, I want to do it. Let's do it. And now I find out I'm the guy, and I think people are going to remember that when it comes time to pull that little lever. Okay? They're going to remember. They're going to remember. So, on the poll. So we're winning with Vermont, winning with Reuters, winning with NBC, winning with Washington Post, ABC, winning with everything. I mean, honestly, we're winning with everything. We're winning in Iowa, CNN, 33-20. New poll. And very importantly, they have these polls. You know, it's interesting. These politicians, they go out and they hire pollsters. They pay them hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. No, you wouldn't believe the money. And I didn't do it. By the way, I'm self-funding my own campaign. Nobody's giving me money. Nobody. 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 It's amazing. People really like that. You know, people really like it. Because I know the system. Who knows the system better than me? I gave very recently, you know, before I did this, $350,000 to the RGA. That's the Republican Governors Association. And over the years, I've given millions and millions of dollars to candidates, and I understand what it means. And I'm not saying right, wrong, but you know what? When you give, and let's say you have a company, and you want something for that company, or a country you're representing as a lobbyist or a special interest, and you want something for that country because they pay you a fortune, what happens, you gave millions of dollars, like Jeb took a fortune. The guy took in $128 million. He's a stiff. How do you get that kind of money? Although, actually, he said some very nice things about me today. And I couldn't believe it, actually. No, he spent like $10 million in ads against me. But he said, I'm a gifted politician. I said, maybe that's not good, being a gift. I wish he just said I was gifted, left the politician out. No, I thought it was nice. He said, I'm a very gifted politician. I'm very successful, this and that. See, now, here's the, I would never say that about my opponent. I would say, my opponent has nothing going. My opponent is horrible, terrible. My opponent is a loser. We always say loser, right? You know, there are some words, but actually, Jeb was very nice to me today, so I appreciated that. But there are some words that I went to an Ivy League school. I went to the Wharton School of Finance, and a lot of people say, it's wonderful, some of the pundits, they say, he's plain-spoken. Plain-spoken. You know, I don't know, is that nice? Is that good or bad? I don't like it, actually. Plain-spoken. I guarantee I have a vocabulary better than all of them, certainly most of them. I know I have an IQ better than all of them. I know that. But they say he's plain-spoken. And then I was saying the other night, you know, I was trying to describe the stupidity that goes on. And I'd always use the word, like, they're incompetent, they don't know what they're doing. But then you go back to the same word, stupidity. You say, what is a better word to describe what's happened to our country? What's a better word than the word stupid? Stupid. It's a stupid. We're being led by stupid people. I mean, think of it. Think of it. I mean, sometimes the words, they just come out. They're the right words. They're the better words. You look at what's happened, and take a look at this. We have a deal that we just made with Iran. One of the dumbest... No, think of it. One of the dumbest transactions I've ever seen. Now, between countries, unbelievable. But I'm talking about any. We did The Art of the Deal. Everybody here probably read The Art of the Deal, right? Did most of you read it? Who read it? Yeah, almost every. So... they do a deal. They give Iran $150 billion. They have so much, it's so rich. If Iran were a stock, buy it, okay? Oh, by the way, speaking of stock, you see the bubble, little bubble, starting to go a little bad, some bad numbers coming out, some really bad things, and you better be careful. Be careful. Be very conservative, because it could be very rough out there, and who can fix things better than me? That's what I do. I fix things. That's what I do. But you look at the Iran deal, and you look at what happened, and the way it was made, and the points we gave up, and constantly, and we don't get our prisoners back. $150 billion, we don't get our prisoners back. We have four prisoners over there. We should get them back. And we should have had them back, right? No, but we should have had them back 3-4 years ago. This deal is, first of all, a deal that goes that long. I mean, it's taken them, how many years have they been negotiating? Like three and a half years? And we'd walk in, yes, we'd like this. They go, no. Oh, okay, you win. This went on for years, right? We got nothing. 24-day periods for inspection. I love the one, self-inspect. They have the right to sell. Certain areas are really hot. In other words, that's probably where they make those suckers, right? So they have the right to self-inspect. So they're going to self. So we call up. We understand that you're doing nuclear at this location. Okay, we'll inspect it. We'll call you back tomorrow. No, we're not doing it. This is the dumbest deal that I've ever seen. We didn't get anything. So here's what happens. We have $150 billion that we gave them. They are going to now, and they just said, we would like to start negotiating for the prisoners. Now think of this. The prisoners should have been out 3 years ago. What you do, you need the right messenger, right? I could take 85% of the audience, and you could have done a good job. It's true. 10%, no good. 5%, mixed. No, it's true. Not everybody. Look, we have Kerry in there. He's one of the 5%, okay? No, he shouldn't be doing this. You go in the first day, you say, listen, we need our prisoners. Don't talk about the $150 billion yet, because you don't want to give them that either. You go in, you want to get the prisoners out. And you say, we want to get our prisoners out. You have to let them out. They don't help you. They do help us. Set a nice tone, a very nice tone. That's a word that Hillary uses a lot. She said, she doesn't like my tone. My tone. By the way, they're chopping off heads of everybody in the Middle East, especially if you happen to be Christian. They're chopping off your head. She doesn't like my tone, if you can believe this. I don't like their tone. I don't like her tone. Crazy. So you go in and you say, we got to have our prisoners back before we start. They're going to say no. Because the Persians, you know, they're great negotiators. The Iranians, Persians are great negotiators. So they're going to say no, absolutely not. We're going to say bye-bye. Now you leave. You leave the room. We never leave the room. How many times did we all think Obama was going to leave the room, meaning get his people to come out? They go back to Iran. They tell everybody that we're stupid. They're winning. This is before the deal's even done. Everyone's saying we're stupid. When somebody says you're stupid, you don't do the deal. But they're marching in the streets and celebrating a deal that hasn't even been done. But I say this. We want to we say no. They say no. And they're going to say no. Now you leave. You double up the sanctions. You sit back and wait for the phone call, right? They'll call you up within 48 hours, guaranteed. And they'll say, we'll give you the prisoners, right? No, no. This is the way it works. This is the way it works. So they give you the prisoners. So now you have your—got to get the prisoners in. And not at the end. You get them out at the beginning. You get them out before it starts. And all you had to do is just say—and you will never get them in the first session. They'll say no, 100%. I mean, 95%. Might be they give them, but I doubt it. But you leave, and you double up or triple up. And they say, and that's it. Okay, now we have our prisoners back. Now you go back in. Next statement. We're ready to start negotiating. We want to be very fair, but we will not give you the $150 billion. We're not going to give you any money. We got enough problems. We owe $19 trillion bucks. We owe $19 trillion. And we're giving them $150 billion. And we just tell them this. Not good, right? Hey, what could Vermont do with $150 billion? Oh. No, we've made Iran a real power. So what you do is you say, you got to get the prisoners out first, so you don't mention the money. Because, you know, when you mention the money, that now it gets tougher. So now they say, no, we have to have that money. We say, you're not going to have it. I mean, you're just not going to have it. We don't have it. Claim poverty. We're a poor nation. We owe $19 trillion. The stupid budget that was approved 2 weeks ago. The stupid budget. Now, how about that? Did you ever see a budget approved so fast? And that's worth $2 billion. That's worth $2 trillion. So now we're going to be at $21 trillion. Here's a budget. I don't get it. You know, the only one, because I think Obama is one of the worst negotiators perhaps in the history of the world, okay? Yeah. Except with the Republicans. With the Republicans, he's a great negotiator. With the Republicans, he does great. He gets a budget approved. I don't understand. He's got the money for Planned Parenthood. He's got the money, think of it. He's got the money to fund Obamacare, which we're going to, by the way, which we're going to terminate, we're going to repeal it, and we're going to replace it with something much better. You see your premiums? You see what's going on? Your premiums are going up 25, 34. I see one going up 48%. 48. A friend of mine calls me up. How's it doing? Oh, does Obamacare is good. 48%. Your deductibles are through. You'll never get to use it. You have to die to use it. You have to die. You need massive operation. You need like 40 operations on your brain, and maybe you could get something. No, the deductibles are through the roof. They're through the roof. Obamacare is a dead duck anyway, because in 17 it fails. Just my luck. If I win, I get Obamacare. It's going to fail during my, and then they'll blame me. Can you believe it? They'll blame me. They'll say, oh, Trump did a lousy job. Obamacare failed. If we had Obama, it wouldn't have failed. Well, it's failing of its own weight. And numerous stories came out recently where by 17, which is in 2 years, it's dead. It can't survive. Of course, the Republicans will probably find a way to keep it going. I'm so upset and angry with the Republicans. We know what we're getting with the Democrats, but the Republicans, they fall. Here we finally have majority. So we have majority, and we have the wrong president, right? But the second majority doesn't, it's like we're doing worse now than ever before. And now Obama, he's got so little respect for the Republican leaders that he just goes along and signs executive orders for everything. No, it's all executive orders, because that's easy to do. I'll tell you, the one good thing about an executive order is that the new president come, and with just a signature, they're all gone. Okay, that's good. That's good. And they're gone. They're gone. So when you look at a deal like that, when you see what's happening with our country, and you see that, we're going to change that. Now, as far as Iran is concerned, I saw what happened over the last few days with the embassy in Iran, the Saudi embassy. Folks, they want to take over Saudi Arabia. Now, they're taking over Iraq because we handed them that on a platter. I was against going in. I am the most, and I say it all the time, I'm the most militaristic person in this room, except for that guy with the hat. Stand up, with the beautiful beard. Stand up. He's the only one. He's the only one. You're my guy. Thank, and you're my guy. I can tell. I know. Do I know my people? And I've never met him before. He just looks good to me. I said he's the only person more militaristic than I am, okay? And you are. You know what I'm talking about. No, but I'm the most. And we're going to make our military so strong, so powerful, so big, so good. So good. And that nobody's going to mess with us, folks. But I'm the one that didn't want to go into Iraq. And in 2004 and 2003, you'll see stories. Trump said, don't go into Iraq. You're going to destabilize the Middle East. Okay? I mean, say what we want. We spend $2 trillion, right? $2 trillion. $2 trillion. Wounded warriors who I love all over the place. I see them, so many. Some of them so badly injured, and they have a better attitude than I have, and they have a better attitude than half of the people in the room have. I mean, these are amazing people. Men and women, what they've gone through and their attitude. And what I said is, we take the oil. Remember, how long have I been saying it? Take the oil. For years, I've been saying, and they've been saying, that doesn't make sense. You can, now they're taking the oil. But they're not taking it, they're bombing it. Although Obama doesn't want to really bomb it because he thinks it's going to create air pollution and be bad for the atmosphere. And this is a true story. What do you think of General Douglas MacArthur if they said, you can't really bomb the oil because it's bad for the environment? Do you think he might say, I don't give a damn, bomb? No, we need Douglas MacArthur. We need General Patton. We need people. We need people. These were great people. These were incredible people. These were people that won. They know how to win. We don't have people that know how to win. We need people. And you know what? In the service, we have. I know a lot about West Point and Annapolis and the Air Force Academy, et cetera. We have great people. We have great people. We let one of our best generals go because he had foul language. He talked to, you know, he had a lot of, you know what I'm talking about. He had foul language. And we let him go. And yet the people loved him. His soldiers, his guys, they and women, they absolutely love this guy. They want to fight for the guy. But he was very foul-mouthed. Who the hell cares? We got to start winning. We have, and I say this, we have an amazing situation because I see these generals are on television all the time. They're always on television. I don't want generals on television. I don't want them. And they're just saying, what we're going to do? What are you going to do? We're going to do here. And then we're going to attack here. And then we're attacking here. Now, I figure it's camouflage, right? I figure they're giving false. Turns out to be true. Or Obama, 2 months ago, right? We sent 50 people over. He thinks it's good. See, I think it's bad to say 50 people. Because 50 people, what the hell are we doing? But we're sending 50 people. So he announces we're sending 50 people. Now, these are really our finest. These are 50 incredible guys that I assume women. These are our finest. And they're going over, right? Why do we have to say that they're going there? Because now they have a target on their back. No, no, seriously. They have now a target, and the enemy is looking for them. Unbelievable. 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 That was a very mild protester, I would say. You know what I love about the protesters, though, and I'll tell you, what's that? Is that a camera? Is that a camera? Are you on my side or somebody else? He's holding something up, and I hope it's a camera. Okay. He's on my side. I can see. He's one of our guys. He's one of the good guys. But, you know, like these protesters, they come in, and the only thing I like about them is that the — look at all those cameras back there. Look at all of them. Everybody's on television. But they never show the crowd. They never want to show the crowd. And the good thing about the protest, they won't turn them. In fact, I used to think that, like, they're fixed. It's a modern camera, right? So they're fixed, so you can't turn them. It's always on my face, right? And you've heard me say this before. They never turn them. And what happens is when you have a protester, the only time people learn how big these crowds are, because we've got 20,000 in Dallas, 35,000 in Mobile, in Iowa, in New Hampshire. We have the biggest crowds. South Carolina, we're packed. We're going to be in Pensacola, Florida next week. We're going to have 20,000 people. We have these, and nobody ever knows. I go home, my wife, she said, oh, you did well tonight. How was your speech? Did you have many people? I said, many people. The place was packed. I had thousands. I had 15,000 people in Lowell, Massachusetts the other night. You saw that. We set a record in the history of the arena. And she'll say, did you have many people? And I say, why do you ask? Because they never show the crowd. That's why I love protesters, because whenever there's a protester, you know, I think they can't move the cameras, right? That they're fixed. They turn into pretzels, they can move them. If there's a protester behind and under the camera, it'll do a somersault. It's unbelievable. So, it's true. It's true. That's true. We have a good time. We have a good time. Thank you. We have a good time. You know, we have a good time with a bad subject, because we don't have much going, right? We don't have much going in terms of — and I always say, I tweeted out today, at real Donald Trump, at real Donald Trump. It's great. 5.5 million people. I have more than five on Facebook. I have, like, all this — it's sort of like owning the New York Times without the losses. It's unbelievable. No, it's true. You tweet out, you have millions and millions of people. I mean, friends of mine, they do a book. Would you do me a favor? What? Could you tweet out that I'm doing a book? So if I like the guy or the woman and they're doing a book, I tweet it, and all of a sudden they become a bestseller, and then they don't talk to me anymore. They give me no credit. They give me no credit. But it is a powerful instrument. You know, we're dealing in social media, and we're getting a lot of credit for doing a good job with social media. And a lot of the voters, it's true. A lot of the voters are going to be coming out, and it's been really amazing. So just to finish you off with Ren, so what we do is we negotiate properly. And I have the greatest negotiators in the world want to come with me. And Carl Icahn, one of the great businessmen, endorsed me, and many others. You know Carl. And they don't want money. They don't want money. They want to help. They want to do something. You know, they've made billions and billions of dollars. They don't need to be paid, you know, a salary. Now we have negotiating against China. We have people that are political hacks. We have people that gave money and they want to be in, you know, in government. And I want to pick the finest people. Some of them, get prepared, are not nice. They have bad personalities. But they're brutal, brutal, genius killers. I want them, right? Don't you? Right? I mean, we lose so much money on trade and all of these other things. So, you're right. So here's what's happened. And over the last short period of time, I've been talking about the deal with Iran, and I've been saying it's one of the worst deals, but then I thought it's even worse than I thought, because I thought the $150 billion that they got and all of the other things that they got, and they'll have nuclear proliferation all over the place because of that deal, and that deal is horrible for Israel, by the way, horrible. It's really horrible for the Middle East, but it's horrible for Israel. And Netanyahu, I don't know, he was having an awfully hard time. I think Barack Obama is the single worst thing that's ever happened to Israel. I really mean it. And then I said to myself, okay, so they made this great deal. They made this great deal. And then I said, you know, it's one of the greatest deals. And I started thinking, no, it's not. The greatest deal they also made, they made the two great deals. It's like a movie company, like, you know, you take Marvel, where they have these great successes, right? They've got like 5 of the top 10 movies ever. Well, this is the same thing. Think of it. So they make this great deal. What else do they get? They got Iraq. Get him out. Get him out. Get him out. Get him out. Yeah, take him out, please. It's fun, right? Get him out. You know, it's sort of fun. Isn't this more exciting? You know? You go to a Hillary thing and it's like boring. You go to a Jeb thing and you fall asleep. We had in New Hampshire, we had 4,500, one of the events. We had 4,500 people. Jeb had 101. Are there any remnants? Any remnants up there? There may be a remnant. Oh, no, it's only the same people coming down the stairs. No, there's a remnant. Yeah, he's right there. Okay. Yeah, throw him out. Throw him out into the cold. You know, don't give them their coat. No coats. No coats. Confiscate their coat. You know, you can't win. By the way, just to finish, I had one word left, Iraq. And nobody heard it because these characters. So they not only got a great deal, but they also take over Iraq with the second largest oil reserves in the world. They have it. Sure as you're sitting there, they have Iraq. So we spend trillions. We spend all. And who's taken over? Iran has taken over the oil. They're taking over Iraq. I mean, what we are doing is so incredible. There's nothing like what we've done. We're destroying ourselves. We're losing our jobs. We're losing our base. We're losing everything. And it's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to, we're not going to let it happen anymore. Not happening. Now, I will tell you something about the protesters, and I respect what they're doing, but I really believe, unless they have a substance abuse problem, which is probably there, he does, he definitely does. No, I really think I could take him into a room, talk to him for 20 minutes. What are we doing? We want strong military. We want good health care. We want a great country. We want low taxes. I've cut the taxes way down, especially for the middle class in business. And, you know, I said, I could take these kids. Most of them are kids. Oh, are they talking back? I don't even hear them. Their voice is so weak. I don't even hear them. Is this... Okay, you can get him out. Yeah, get him out. Thank you, darling. I love my people. They say my people are the most loyal of anybody. I can do anything. They say that. They say we have the most loyal. I'll tell you what, I have the smartest people. They were trying to say, well, our people aren't. Let me tell you, we have the smartest people. I'm really smart. My uncle was one of the top people at MIT for years. He was a professor. We have good stuff. We have great genes in this room. We have smart people. They get it. They get it. They really do get it. It's been an amazing journey for me. Is somebody shouting back there? Oh, I love you. Oh, that's good. But isn't this more exciting, though, than these other routes where nobody, they have no protesters, nobody cares. Nobody cares. They go in, everybody falls asleep. They say, can I go home now, darling? And everyone leaves. And the guy standing there, please vote for me. How about this guy, O'Malley? I mean, here's a guy. No, think of it. His number one credential is that he was the mayor of Baltimore. Can you believe it? And he, okay, so now he holds a rally, and one man showed up. Did you see that? It was one of the great. And he's sitting there talking to the guy for an hour, just the two people. Then the guy gets up and he leaves, and the press says, well, are you going to vote for him? No, actually, I'm not. Spencer, I mean, it's time for him to get out. It's time. Time for O'Malley to get out. He is really bad news. At least Bernie is getting some action. He gets much smaller crowds than me. But at least Bernie gets some action, right? Oh, would I love to run against Bernie. I would love. I would. Oh. That would be a dream come true. But actually, I must say, I have my mindset on Hillary. I do have my mindset. I have my mindset on Hillary. I mean, it's just going to be what? We'll take it down. What does that mean? That's not us. I got in such trouble. How about last week? Did I get in trouble? What did I say? What did I say? I said nothing. But I did get in trouble. The crowd there was incredible, too. You know what happens? We have amazing people. We have, like, these crowds, and they're all, like, interchangeable. We have great people. You go to the South, you go to the North, you go to the West. The people have one thing in common, the enthusiasm, the love of their country. They love their country. It's unbelievable. And let me tell you something. It's going to be very interesting. I don't think we can be beaten. There's a momentum that we have. There's a momentum that we have that is so unbelievable. I thought I heard a little voice over there. Right, get him out. Take him out. Get him out of here. Yeah, don't give him his coat. Don't give him his coat. Keep his coat. Confiscate his coat. You know, it's about 10 degrees below zero outside. Now, you can keep his coat. Tell him we'll send it to him in a couple of weeks. All right. It's amazing. No, it's amazing. It's amazing. But you know what? Sometimes you go into 20,000, you have none of that. I knew I was going to have some in Vermont, in all fairness. If we didn't have that, it wouldn't be Vermont, right? I mean, it wouldn't be. Hey, why do you think the other Republicans are not coming up here, folks, okay? I'm the only one. Why do you think? But it is, it's a funny story. So the first time it happened was a couple of months ago, and I was really nasty. Because, nah, you know, look, I'm not getting out there. But I'll tell you one thing. We all like Bernie. Do we like Bernie? Okay. Well, if you want to pay a 90% tax, I mean, he wants to tax you at 90%. Okay, so you don't like him. I wasn't sure I had to feel that out. But how about when the two young women took over his microphone? They came up screaming at him, and he retreated. He went like this. And they made the speech for the rest of the night. That won't happen with me, I promise. I promise. I promise. That was a terrible, I tell you what, it was so embarrassing to watch that. You know, because he's a politician, he's from this country. When they took over that microphone that night, screaming at him, he was petrified. He walks to the back of the stage with that tall guy, the goofus guy. He stands there. And they're both watching these two girls speaking. And the crowd is saying, give him back the mic. Give him back. And Bernie said, I lost so much respect for Bernie. That was terrible. We can't let anybody take over our mic. We can't let it happen. Can't let it happen. So when I started this journey, and that's what it was, on June 16th in New York, I said to my wife, you know, we've got to do it. And I looked down in that building at Trump Tower, 57th and 5th Avenue, and I looked down, and I saw more of those cameras than I've ever seen at one place. I have never seen any. The entire lower level of Trump Tower was cameras, cameras, cameras. Outside on the streets, they were closed. They had trucks, you know, the trucks, the equipment, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, everything. Networks I never even heard of. I never saw so many networks. I said, are there that many? It was like the Academy Awards. It was like the Academy Awards. You all remember it. And everybody said he's not going to run. So, you know, they were all waiting. But I just said, look, we got to do it. And I took a deep breath. And I said, let's go. Because it takes guts to run for president. It really does. No, it really does. I mean, it's not something I had in mind. Steve Burke, who's a great guy, the head of Comcast, he came to my office just before. He wanted me to renew for a lot of episodes of The Apprentice. But, you know, it sounds a little trivial. We love The Apprentice. It sounds trivial. It's not. It's a lot of money. And then the deals I lose and all of this. Plus, I love my lifestyle. And, you know, now I'm driving around in an armored vehicle. I drive around in a vehicle. I say, how good are those windows? Sir, they can take 28 AK-47 bullets before they degenerate. I said, that's a hell of a window, right? And then I say, how about the doors? The doors are unlimited, sir. They can take in the bottom and the top. You know, I'm driving around in an army tank. I'll never see a Rolls Royce again. So think of it. I may never see a car that I want to be in again. And they always put me in so fast. I'm going in, you know, it's a whatever the hell they call them. And I, boom, get in. Boom, the door closes. And when that door closes, I mean, we're talking about the only thing good, if you ever get hit, nothing's going to happen. I'll tell you that. But it's been a really amazing experience. I mean, the best part of the experience are the people that I've met. The people in this country are so competent. I mean, they're so incredible. And they're so enthusiastic. And I mean that. I love the people. I love the people. But I said to my wife, I said, come on, we have to do it. We got to do it. And I literally didn't know until that escalator. We've all seen the famous escalator ride down, right? Melania in a beautiful white suit. And me waving, oh, hey, I didn't even know who the hell I was waving to. And I came down, and we made a speech, and we talked about illegal immigration, right? Did I take heat? Oh, did I take... Rush Limbaugh said he has never seen so much incoming to one person. It's true. I've never had anything like it. And then 2 weeks later, it started dying down. Now, people are saying he's right. It's turned out to be right. It's now, I'm like, all these guys are trying to catch me. And Ted Cruz, who I like, but 3 nights ago, he was being interviewed. And he said, and we will build the wall. He never said that. My wife said, that gentleman just said, we're going to build a wall. He's going to build a wall. I said, he never said that before. So they're all coming to me, and they're all, but nobody can do it like, first of all, nobody can build a wall like me. That's for sure, okay? I'll build it bigger, better, stronger, more beautiful, and for less money. I love it. Get them out of here. Get them out. Come on, security, move faster. We need security that moves fast. Come on, move faster. Come on, security, go faster. Get them out of here. Come on, get them out. We got to get the security moving a little bit faster here. Come on, fellas. They got to move faster. We're not dealing with tough hombres. You know, I'll tell you what has happened, though. The first night that I had these characters. The first night, I figured it's all like, you know, a little bit theatrical. I said, because I don't want anybody to get hurt. Nah, I don't want anybody to get hurt. Maybe. But I was rough. I said, get them out of here now. Get them out. Get them out. I want them out now. And the guy was a rough guy. He was swinging, and the other guys were swinging. And my audience starts swinging. You had guys I don't think they were ever in a fight before. And you see them, and they're going like this. And I say, oh, move that guy out. He's going to get killed. But you had him all over. But this was a rough guy, very, very loud. And I figured I'd be rough, and boom. So I'm screaming, get him out of here. Get them. Okay. I was criticized so badly. It was terrible. He was so mean and rough and terrible. I was killed. You remember that? I was killed. And all I'm doing is screaming, get him out of here. So the next time it happened a week later, and we had protesters. And I said, gently, please remove them. Please. Be very gentle. Don't hurt them. Don't hurt them. You know, guys throwing fists and fighting. And my poor guys, I'm saying, don't hurt them. You know, one guy took a big shot to the face because I'm saying, don't hurt them. In the meantime, the guy's got a black eye like you wouldn't believe. So I said, easy. Don't hurt him. Easy. I got killed the next day. They said, Trump is weak. He's weak. So you're too tough and too mean, or you're too weak. You can't win with these people. They're so bad. Oh, I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. So when I started, we talked about illegal immigration. I talked about it in front of all of these cameras, and we were very, very strong on it. And it worked out, and it turned out I was right. Then, as you know, I did something recently, because we got problems, folks. We got problems. You take a look at Paris. You take a look at Brussels. You look at what happened in California. You look at what's happening all over the world. You look at what's happening in Germany. Now, I'm on the cover of Time magazine this week. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? No. Think of it. I was on the cover like 5-6 weeks ago, and I was honored. You know, it's still, look, we can act cool. It's still Time magazine. You're on the cover. It's pretty cool, right? You come from Brooklyn. You live in Queens, you work in Brooklyn. All of a sudden, you're on the cover of Time magazine every couple of months. That's pretty cool, right? Pretty cool. But, so I was on a few, like 2 months ago. And then, today, I didn't even know. I mean, this is when you're really cool, right? I'm on the cover of Time magazine, and they put it on my desk. It comes out tomorrow. Go buy it. The story's good, so go buy it. If the story wasn't good, I wouldn't have even been talking about it. They put it on my desk. I said, what's that? Time magazine. Oh. I figured, you know, somebody's doing a joke. How could I be in the car? I didn't even know they were doing a story. So they did a story. It's a great story. And it talked about winning. And it talked about the tremendous crowds we're getting. And it talked about the tremendous enthusiasm. And it really talks about the fact there's never been anything. There's never been anything like this. But the amazing thing, think of this. I didn't even know. Normally a reporter would call you, give them a couple of, like, you know, this is what I think. Nobody ever even called me. I'm the cover of the magazine. But what happened is, when it came to the person of the year, it used to be called the man of the year. What sounds better? The person of the year, for the women, only the women. What sounds better, person of the year or man of the year? They're saying, I'm telling you, man of the year. The women are saying, man of the year. Is this the weirdest thing? We have to be politically correct, so we're going to go person of the year. So they have person of the year. No, I mean, oh, there's so much of this stuff. You have no idea. There's so much. No, I mean, you just heard it. A lot of women. And they're all saying man of the year. And I actually think it should be person of the year. It just doesn't sound that good. But so they come up, their year-end issue, person of the year. Everybody said Trump is getting it, except me, because I said, I'm too controversial. I'm not establishment. Thank goodness. I'm not establishment. We're going to do something with the establishment. You know, the establishment, these idiots like Karl Rove and all these characters, they don't know what they're doing. He was actually on the other day. I think I had like a 42 or something. And he said, well, that doesn't mean he's going to win. And even the announcer goes, really? Tell me, why not? You know, he's sure as hell got a good start. No, the hatred is incredible. So I said, there's no way that they make me. And I think I came in second or third. And they chose Angela Merkel. Why? Because she allowed millions of people to come into Germany. And Germany is now in deep, deep trouble. You look at what's going on in Germany. They have got problems like you wouldn't believe. And you look at Brussels, and you look at all. So I said, we have to do something. We have to figure out what the problem is. We have to figure it out. Now, we have a president that doesn't even want to talk about it, right? Radical Islamic terrorism. He doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't want to mention the term. He doesn't want to use the term. By the way, I have many friends. They're Muslims. They're fantastic people. But we have a problem. We have to find out, and we have to get to the bottom of the problem. We have to be able to solve the problem. We can't have people flying airplanes into the World Trade Center. We can't have people doing what they did in Paris. We can't have people doing what they did recently in California. We have to find out, and we have to get back to the basics, and we have to find out. We have to find out. We have to solve this problem. And it's a very deep-seated problem. And there's a level of hate that's so incredible. We have to get to the bottom of it. Now, these two people that killed 14 people plus, because you have people laying in the hospital very badly injured, but these two people, they had an apartment. They had pipe bombs all over the apartment. Other people knew they had pipe bombs. Why weren't they reported? People knew what was going on. They had numerous people that knew. One of them didn't want to say it because they didn't want to be accused of racial profiling. You believe it? Now, I know what that was. That was a lawyer saying, listen, they know you knew. So what you'll do is you'll use racial profiling as an excuse. They didn't want to say. They actually said, oh, we didn't want to call the police because we didn't want to be accused of racial profiling. That's called politically correct. That's called give me a break. Give me a break. So we got to get to the bottom of our problems. We've got to, you know, we've become like. Get out of here. Okay, security, move a little faster, please. Thank you, security. Yeah, get him out of here. Yeah, get him out of here, please. Go ahead. Yeah, get him out, please. Get him out of here. Honestly, they're very rude, but it makes for more fun of... Isn't it more fun this way? I find it to be more fun. The other gets boring. Here we have no boredom whatsoever. Nobody's falling asleep, right? Look at that guy with a beautiful woman. Nobody's falling asleep, right? All right, thank you. So, folks, we have to take care of people, and we have to have a big heart. Are they out, security? Are they gone? Are they gone? Thank you. They're so rude. They're so rude. You see, today, we have security people that are, you know, it's hard. 10 years ago, they would have been on their ass, those people. They really would have been. 10 years ago, it would have been much tougher. This is what happens. And this is why we lose control of our country, folks. This is why. We lose control of our country, because everybody's afraid to do anything. The police, who are these phenomenal people that are totally mistreated, by the way, totally mistreated. And they really are. They're afraid they're going to lose their job over stuff. Do you got them out of here? Get them out. We'll get more and more angry as we go along. Is that okay? And by the end, I'll say, get them the hell out of here. And then, by the way, by that time, the security will be so tough and so nasty. And you know what's going to happen when that happens? You're not going to have any more problems. You're not going to have any more problems. Did you notice the first group, the security guys are going, they're not my guys. But the first group, they're going, oh, please come with us. And they're screaming, please come. All right, second group, they're a little... Now, the last time, they're starting to get nasty. Pretty soon, they're going to get so nasty that we're not going to have any more protesting. You know that, right? So we have to solve our problems. We have tremendous crime problems. We have tremendous problems at the border. We have to solve our problems. And we're going to make this country so strong and so great. We're going to take care of our veterans. Our veterans are just absolutely treated so badly. Our veterans are treated so badly. You look at the Veterans Administration, one of the most corrupt groups of people anywhere in this country. Our veterans are going to, it is what's happening to our veterans. These are our great people. They are being treated terribly. And we're going to change that. And we're going to get it changed. And we're going to get it changed quickly and fast. Thank you, everybody. So when I started this, it was about trade with China. China's ripping us. It was about trade with Japan and Mexico. They're taking our businesses. They're taking our companies. Nabisco is leaving Chicago, going to Mexico. No more Oreos for anybody in this group. No more. I don't want any Oreos anymore. Nabisco leaving Chicago, building a big plant in Mexico, closing up. What? How does that help us? How does it help us, folks? How does it? Then they make and they send the product, no tax, no nothing, boom. How does it help us? Ford, $2.5 billion plant in Mexico. So they're going to make cars, trucks, and parts. They're going to bring them over the border. They'll probably be driven over the border by illegal immigrants because it's very inexpensive. No, it's true. It's true. They'll be driven over. They come in the border. Nobody's going to check them. You know, we don't have anybody to check them. Nobody cares. And our country's going to hell. Our country's going to hell. And it's going to stop. And I tell people, like using Ford as an example. You take Ford as an example. They go in to build a wall. But they go in, think of it, they build this massive, you know what, a $2.5 billion plant? We're talking a one-story building, $2.5 billion? Now, how many places close up in Michigan and other places to get that done? And I tell people, let's say, oh, this is impossible to imagine. Low energy, Jeb Bush becomes president. Hello, I'm Jeb. No, he's afraid to use his last name. Can you believe it? I'm Jeb with an exclamation point. I said to him, use your last name. I think you'll do better. Actually, I think you'll do better. But look, but he understands what's going on, and he'll say, and they'll say, this is bad, and he'll say, well, you know, let's do it. Then what happens? The people that gave him the $128 million, of which he's using a lot of it, on negative ads on me. So far, it's had no impact, which is, actually, I went up in the polls. I don't know what the hell. Somebody's doing a bad job. But those people that gave him those millions and millions and millions of dollars, they know the people at Ford, and they know other people, and they get hired because they're lobbyists and they're special interests. They make a lot of money. And they'll go to Jeb or Hillary or Marco or any of them, because every single one of them is borrowing and taking money. They're taking money. Again, I'm the only one that's not. So they're going to go in, and they're going to say, you can't do that. Because they know it's no good. We're losing factories. We're losing our jobs. They're going to have jobs, but the jobs are good for Mexico, not for our country, right? So they're going to go and they're going to say, like, well, let's say Hillary said, it's not good. We're going to end it. She will be met with such resistance from the people that gave her the money, all this money to run. And one of them will say, you can't do that. These people supported you. They gave you $5 million. You have to let that factory go through. You have to let them build that plant. Nabisco has to build. Ford has to build. They all have to build. With me, it's different. Okay? With me, it's different. With me, it's different. With me, they're going to come in, and they're going to say, President Trump, sir, thank you. They're going to say, Mr. President, it's really a good thing for our country. Now, you know, why? Because we're losing jobs and closing factories. That's good for our country? Not good for our country. Nobody's going to, you can go, you don't have to go through high school to know that. It's bad for our country. They're going to say, it's really good, Mr. President. Okay. So after about like 2 minutes, I'll cut that one off. And they're going to say, I said, no. We want the plant to be built in the United States. I don't care where. We want that plant to be built in the United States, and we want the jobs to be from the United States, and we don't want cars built in other countries, like in Japan, that are pouring into our country, like millions and millions of vehicles pouring into our country, coming off, in the case of Japan, the biggest ships I've ever seen. You go to Los Angeles, the cars are pouring off by the millions. And what do we get out of it? What do we get out of it? No tax, no nothing. So the head of Ford would call me. Mr. President, we'd like to do it. We think it's very good for the country. Oh, really? Okay. The answer is no. He'll then call me back, and I'll say, I want you to build the plant, but I want you to build it in the United States. I guarantee you, I don't need anybody for this. This is too easy. I guarantee you, within 48 hours, I get a phone call saying, Mr. President, we're going to build the plant in the United States. And you know why? Because I will have told him that if you build that plant, you're going to have a 35% tax for every single vehicle that comes across the border. Every single vehicle, you're going to pay tax. And I'm a free trader, by the way. I am a free trader, I believe. But you have to be smart. We need smart people to make these deals. We have such trade deficits with Mexico, with all of these companies. I told you before, with China. Now, when we do business with China, they make product and they sell it over here like forget it. No anything. Just come on in. No tax, no nothing. They take Apple. They build Apple. My dream is to have Apple and companies like Apple to build their factories here instead of building them in China and Vietnam and all these other places. That's what I want. And we have the people that can do it. You know, speaking of that, though, when you think, remember when we were, some of you are a little bit older and some are very young, because we actually have a young audience. We have a very young, but we, some, so they won't remember. But do you remember when we used to have the stickers Made in America, right? You don't see that anymore. You don't see it anymore. Made in the USA, less so, you see it. But it was Made in America. And when it said Made in Japan, that was a bad thing. That was like a cheaper product, right? Made in America. Many of us remember that. We don't have that anymore. We're going to go back, and we're going to have that again. And you know what else we're going to have? You know what else we're going to have? When it's Christmas time, we're going to all say Merry Christmas. Sure. It's true. It's true. We're going to say Merry Christmas. And we go into those stores, and we go into those big department stores, and we go into Macy's where the stock has just crashed, which I love because they were so disloyal. I mean, you know, they were so disloyal. I love watching that stock go down from, what, 75 to 35 or 34? I love it. I love it. No, so disloyal. Why? Over illegal immigration? I mean, you know, it's just horrible. But you go in there, you don't see Merry Christmas. We're going to see Merry Christmas again. And we're going to have happy holidays, and we're going to take care of everybody. But we're going to see Merry Christmas again, folks. We're going to see it. So with China, what happens is they bring stuff in here, no tax. We try and get stuff there. I have friends that are in the manufacturing business. It is brutal. They say dealing with China is impossible. Now, I love China. I love the Chinese people. I sell apartments for millions and millions of dollars. I have the largest bank in the world, Chinese bank, in one of my buildings. Pay me rent. The rent is good. That I can tell you. Okay. I don't have to worry about the rent. But China's great. The problem with Mexico, and Mexico's great. Thousands of people work for me. They're great. Their leaders are too smart for our leaders. When the people are pouring across the border, Mexico is sitting there, oh, isn't that too bad? And you know what? When Kate, beautiful Kate, got killed in San Francisco by somebody that came over five times, okay? And when Jamil was killed in Los Angeles, this young, incredible African-American boy whose father's a friend of mine, a great guy. The father is like this great guy. This son was the apple of his eye, young boy, walking down the street, right in front of his house, going home to see his father, and he gets shot in the face three times by an illegal immigrant that wasn't supposed to be here. Or the woman in Los Angeles who got raped, sodomized. She's a 65-year-old veteran, raped, sodomized, and killed. That's just the beginning. Now, I'll tell you what, we have something else going. You have a woman up in New Hampshire who actually said, I'm going to vote for Mr. Trump. Now, you know the woman I'm talking about? Where she shot the guy that was attacking her. She carried a pistol. I love this woman. I love this woman. So she feels somebody's behind her because we're going to protect the Second Amendment, folks. We have to protect it. We have to protect it. So, do you know Howie Carr? He told me about this story. And then I read it. And then I saw it. Howie's a great guy. He's a fantastic guy. Really good. And I did his show, and he told me about it. I went, I got the stuff. I said, that's incredible. And, yeah, she's for Trump. I love that. I love smart, tough, great people being for Trump. I don't want a lot of people. Some people I don't want. Somebody said, oh, so-and-so's not going to endorse you. I said, I don't want his endorsement. I don't want it. This woman, those are the people I love. But she's followed, and she feels there's something wrong. Never used it. She has a permit to carry a gun. And the guy breaks in. She opens the door, breaks in. He's coming at her, and she shoots him and doesn't kill him. Doesn't kill him, which is good, actually. Doesn't kill him. But she shoots him. And he goes to the hospital. I said, that's so beautiful. That's such a beautiful story. Okay? Such a beautiful story. We need our guns. We need the guns. I mean, whether we like it or not, we need our guns. You know, if in California, and I tell this all the time, if in California or in Paris, you know, Paris is the toughest place in the world to get a gun. The strictest laws, you cannot have a gun unless, of course, you're a bad guy. A bad guy, no problem. You know, you just walk in with a gun, right? No problem. But in Paris, the toughest laws anywhere in the world, they say, France generally. So what happens? 130 people killed. Now, think of it this way. They walk in. I call them the bad guys. I call them the guy with the dirty hat. These people were saying the mastermind. They called him a mastermind. And I've been talking for 2 weeks after that incident, and they don't call him mastermind anymore. They say, the mastermind of the Paris attack. The mastermind. He's a slob. He probably has about a 70 IQ. He's a dope. And you know what? Dope. I saw him with a white hat that was filthy dirty. The press is calling him a mastermind. Then they wonder why our kids are radicalized over the internet. The internet. They're calling these people masterminds. What did he do? He put a couple of people in these different places and they start killing people. That's not a mastermind. That's a sick puppy, folks. That's a sick puppy. And we can't call him. We can't call him mastermind anymore. But think of it. So you have these guys, they walk into a number of places in France and they say, get over, boom. Get over, boom. Get over, boom. Nobody had a gun on the other side. Now, if I took you, or if I took you, or if I took a couple of the people in this room, and you had a gun strapped to your ankle or strapped to your waist, I'll tell you, it's a whole different outcome, right? It's a whole different outcome. It's a whole different deal. You don't have 130 people. You don't have 130 people. You'll have bad stuff happening, but at least we're shooting back and we're going down shooting. And you know what? And nobody can dispute that. And when I have debates with these people, and by the way, they say I won all of the debates. Can you believe it? I won all the, I never did it before. All of the online poll, Drudge, Time Magazine, Slate, all of them, PBS, they all say Trump won the debates. Can you believe it? Then I go home and I watch. How did I do? Well, you did okay. Not so great. You did okay. Can you believe? And then my numbers go up. I went up last time 11 points right after the debate. I went up 11 points. Can you believe this? And I didn't know would I be able to debate. Who the hell knows? I got these politicians. All they do is talk. I create jobs. All they do is talk all day long. And they're not very good debaters, are they? Really? They're not too good. Anyway, so when you look at it, and if you had people with some protection, even if you had four or five people in there, it would be a whole different story. And people cannot beat you at that. I deal, you know, coming from New York, and they want to get rid of the guns, and they always want to get rid of the guns. And I talk to them, and I have these debates in front of people. And I win after like 2 minutes, it's over. They can't beat you in that debate. They can't. And then I call them the next day, I say, so do you agree with me? No, I don't. No, I don't. Look. If we would have had guns on the good guys in California, if they would have had them in Paris, if they would have had, how about on the military base with five great soldiers? Two of them were world-class soldiers. Two of them, and one in particular was one of the, I mean, he was a triple A. This guy was one of the greatest soldiers. And they're on the base, and they have a gun-free zone on the base. Who ever heard? You're on a military base. They have a gun-free zone. Now, you know what a gun-free zone is to a sicko? That's bait. That's like gun-free zone. And then they walk in with whatever the hell they're carrying, and these five great soldiers, and I'm telling you, one of them was one of the most highly awarded one. He was super shot. He's not allowed to have a gun. All five are killed. Instantaneously. And you have other cases. I will get rid of gun-free zones on schools, and you have to. And on military bases, my first day, it gets signed, okay? My first day. There's no more gun-free zones. I mean, think of it. A gun-free zone on a military base with some of the best soldiers we have, sitting there, relaxing, watching television, no gun, guy walks in, kills all of them, okay? That ends immediately. We're going back to sanity in this country. We're going back to strength in this country. We're going back to intelligence, and we're going back to common sense. We are going to make America great again, greater than ever before. I love you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.